compassion that moves the heart of the king conversely. Rather than punish this insolent servant, he would absorb that great debt, rather than kicking it out on his servant and his family. If God is the king, and if you belong to him, then you too must be servants, as in this parable. Therefore, that first servant is you, with your debts and your faults. All of your failures, all of your neglect and hurt toward God and others are like a great debt that you cannot possibly pay. The idea of paying for sin is out of the question. You would have to live to be 275 years, and then you would only make a dent in the interest. But the debt must be fully resolved. Be patient with me, you think, and I will pay back everything. Now, the scriptures do not like to use the term fool, so I do not use it lightly. But, dear friends, only a fool would think that paying back the debt owed to God is possible. You deserve help. That debt either has to be paid or it has to be absorbed. Your forgiving begins by knowing God's forgiveness. Christ is the heart of God. He is forgiveness and he is life. He paid your debt to the very last penny. He absorbed all of the Father's wrath. Your debt is enormous, but God's forgiveness is even more extravagant. You must realize the enormity of his forgiveness for you. That's why the words, "It is finished," from the cross of Christ are so vital. For God's eternal punishment was fully taken out on his Son, Jesus Christ. The sin you have is a crushing debt. He was crushed for your iniquity, as Isaiah had prophesied. God wants you to apply that same total forgiveness to others. So, this parable of our Lord Jesus Christ has a part two, if you will. So, let us begin looking at that parable in another way. Immediately after leaving the presence of the king, or for our purposes, we shall say, immediately after leaving the divine service, this servant who was forgiven searched for another servant to warn him. He had a grudge to settle with servant number two, who didn't owe him 100 years' wages, but he owed a lot. He owed 3 months' wages. In comparison, the two are minuscule. When one is placed alongside the other, the second debt seems not to be a debt at all. You know the outcome of this encounter. Why didn't that first servant get it? Perhaps he didn't get it because the hurt from that sin still lingered from the debt owed to him. Perhaps he thought he needed some capital to bargain with the king in case the king went back on his promise and changed his mind. You and I can readily understand the rationale of this first servant because we've been there so many times. When you are hurt again and again, even though it's a little pinch, you want to repay the hurt. Have you ever asked yourself this question? How far can my forgiveness go? has happened here, dear friends. We have taken the grace and mercy of God for granted. We have now made it into a law. If I do not, then he will not. The words of Jesus ring out loud and clear. Your Father will deal with you in like manner. We pray to your Father who art in heaven, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Refusal to forgive means God will refuse to forgive, and you cannot remain in his kingdom. So is this law or is this mercy? The real answer comes when you understand that forgiveness does not come from within you, but from outside of you. Forgiveness and forgiving others comes from God's forgiveness to you. God forgives without condition. God implants in you a heart to forgive. Now you and I may have strength to forgive some sins, but not everyone, and certainly not all of them from the heart. The Christ who offered himself for you is the Christ who gives you strength to forgive unconditionally as he does and completely. He gives you strength to forgive 70 times 7 and beyond. This forgiveness is a fruit of faith in Christ. It relies on God's power, not yours. Faith knows that God works all things for good, even for people like Joseph, who was thrown into a well, sold into slavery, and lied about it. Yet he believed the promises of God. You, he says to his brothers, meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The Lord worked in all his troubles so Joseph would have greater faith. He had the opportunity to pay back his brothers for his years of suffering. He did pay them back. But he paid them from God's heart, not his own. He paid them with forgiveness. Here is the contrast of faith versus unbelief. Here is the heart you need. A heart that reveals faith in Christ through forgiveness. Your servant, your source to forgive, is not from within you, but from outside of you, and it flows from the cross of Jesus Christ. Belief in Jesus means that you trust God in working in your life when people hate and hurt you, and that he is working even through people who do evil things to you. Even though you have done hateful and hurtful things toward God, he forgives you through his Son and the cross thereby. You need to depend on that same source, the name of Jesus bestowed upon you in the water of baptism, to forgive as you are forgiven. Alexander Pope once said, to err is human, to forgive divine. Perhaps unknowingly, or at least unwittingly, Pope spoke truth, for you must have his divine heart in you to be able to forgive. Jesus gives you a new heart, a heart that forgives. God's enormous compassion moved him to send Jesus to pay the debt you owed and to forgive you completely. So it is that now you no longer need to inquire, who is that servant with the enormous debt? For you know, it is you. You no longer need those of you who took the early communion class will listen up here. This will be on the test next time we meet. Here. Right there. At the table. That's the place where your Lord Jesus Christ offers you the very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sin. And through that forgiveness, that's what the term strength comes from, so that your faith may be strengthened, so that you in turn are enabled to truly forgive those who sin against you. Dear children of God, because you are here,